We come tonight to a regretful episode in the life of David, but one which the Spirit of God has included in the inspired scriptures for our admonition and for our instruction. It is an episode which can only be summed up as a time of fearful backsliding and departure from God. David had been chosen by the Lord to replace Saul. The Lord had given him a signal victory over Goliath and the Philistines as a divine confirmation of his choice of David. His victory, as we have noted, brought him into prominence in Israel. But at the same time, it made him an object of envy and the hatred of King Saul. Saul's repeated attempts upon the life of David forced him to flee and to go into hiding, first with Samuel the prophet at Ramah, and afterward with the high priest Ahimelech here in the place in the town called Nob. David, however, did not remain here. The narrative at the end of this chapter records that he fled in fear of Saul to Achish, the king of Gath. Now this territory, you will remember, belonged to the Philistines, and it was the home city of Goliath, the great giant whom David had slain on the battlefield. Hence we find David here in enemy territory amongst the people who had aligned themselves against the God of Israel. The picture painted in these verses is both regrettable and lamentable. Here we have a man of God fleeing to the ungodly to seek shelter and escape in their midst. And if this were not degrading enough, we are told that David changed his behavior and feigned himself mad, scrabbling on the doors and letting the spittle fall down upon his beard. It is the picture of a man out of step and out of touch with God. It is a pitiful and a pathetic sight, yet one which is both alarming and sobering to the people of God. It sounds a trumpet blast to every believer of the reality and the danger of backsliding. Backsliding is a reality. And here we have the man who God said was the man after God's own heart, and he's in enemy territory, and he's acting as a madman. It sounds a trumpet blast to us. I want to identify three great lessons from this episode in the life of David. I want you to notice in the first place the concealment of his backslidden spirit. This chapter contains the evidence and the manifestation of David's backsliding from God. And yet we discover from the information given that David's straying from the Lord on this occasion had taken place initially under a cloak of concealment and secrecy. You see, backsliding in a believer's life is never a sudden or an overnight happening. It takes place gradually and secretly, and it develops slowly until it eventually becomes clear in that person's actions and conduct that they have not been going on with God. David's backsliding became evident at Gath when he went to the territory of the Philistines. But prior to this, there had been a secret departing from the Lord in his heart. When a believer goes away from the Lord and goes back to the world, it is due first of all to a gradual and secret departure from the Lord within the heart, most often not seen or witnessed by others. This concealment, or this secret deviation, is evidenced in the chapter. Prior to this escape to Gath, David had been in God's house. Look at verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. This is the place where the tabernacle was. The priests of the Lord were here. Here is the house of the Lord. Here is the means of grace. And David is present now in attendance at the tabernacle. On the outward appearance, it seems good and wholesome, but when we examine it, and when we examine the events which followed after, we will discover that David's spiritual condition on this occasion was far from good. David's attendance at the house of the Lord may have appeared a good sign, but his motive was not right. It was not a spiritual motive that brought him to the house of God. It was a physical and a carnal motive that prompted his attendance. Did you notice what he asked when he came to the high priest? He says in verse 3, "Now therefore, what is under thine hand?" He has already lied about his reason for being there. He said that he was there on the business of the king, which was not the case. And when he speaks to the high priest here, he says, "What is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what is there present?" You see, what David is looking for, what David is seeking for here, is not governed by a spiritual motive. It is a physical and a carnal motive. We read on this occasion that the priest sought the Lord in chapter 22 and verse 10. Doeg the Edomite, when he went back to Saul, told him what happened and how David came to the priest. And he said in verse 10 that the priest, he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. And this is indicating that the priest on this occasion sought the Lord whether he should give David the showbread that was on the table of showbread in the tabernacle in the holy place. And the Lord responded yes. But I want you to notice that there is no mention here of David seeking the Lord. David is not seeking direction from the Lord as to what way he should go. And the subsequent events in Gath suggest very strongly that though David was at the tabernacle at the means of grace, his heart was not in a sound spiritual condition. He was not seeking after God. Now we've got to stop here. We've got to take in the significance of this event. David is at God's house, but immediately after he flees to Gath amongst the ungodly. How very possible it is for a believer to be in the house of the Lord in the means of grace and yet have a heart which is in the very process of departing from the Lord. A heart which is set on a course that does not have the approval of God. Where David went after he left the tabernacle was not approved by God. And it sounds to every one of us tonight that it's very possible to come into God's house and yet have a heart that is traveling in a direction far from God and contrary to the way of God. David would afterward learn and write of the proper motive and manner of attending God's house, the means of grace. In Psalm 27 and verse 4, he says there, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Now I believe that this experience, this episode in David's life, was the means that was used of the Lord to impress this in his heart. For afterwards he will say, "I want to be in God's house that I might behold the beauty of the Lord." that I might see the Lord, and that I might inquire in His temple, that I might seek the mind of God, and obtain the leading of the Lord. You see, David did not seek God, though he was in God's house. Though he was at the means of grace, all he was interested in was something that was carnal. And as subsequent events show, he afterwards followed a course that was against the Lord. You see, a backsliding heart is principally a heart which begins to follow its own way. That's what backsliding is. Backsliding is departing from the way of God. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. How solemn are these words. And yet words that we've got to take to heart, every one of us individually. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. His own understanding takes precedence. And he's not at all interested in seeking the mind of God, seeking the will of God, seeking the direction of the Lord. The characteristic of a backsliding heart is that it follows its own way and leans on its own understanding. And that's what happened here. David thought that he would be safe if he went to the Philistines. This is not the understanding imparted by God. This is not the wisdom of God. This is a heart following after its own way. Does it not impress upon us the great need of keeping our heart with all diligence, of examining the motives of our heart, and even the very motive and manner in which we come into God's house? What is my motive in coming to God's house? Have I come to inquire of God? Have I come to see and behold the beauty of the Lord? Have I come to hear the voice of God and be directed by Him whatever He will say to me? We have got to watch our motives, lest we should find ourselves to have a heart, as Paul says in the letter to the Hebrews, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. David's condition was concealed, was hidden. Nobody else could see what condition he was in. Because backsliding always begins in secret, before it is brought out into the open. And as we would describe it, a person away back to the world. But then I want you to notice, secondly, the consequences of a backslidden heart. You see, David's action and his lack of seeking the Lord brought inevitable consequences, which are clearly identified in this passage. You see, in the first place, it led to his seeking after the company of the ungodly. When we stop to consider here the impact of verse 10, it should leave us speechless. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Can it be? Can it really be that the man after God's own heart, who took on the Philistines and the giant, should now be seeking refuge and shelter among them? Here's the man who has contended against the Philistines, and now he's seeking to be in their presence and in their company. Remember, at this point, he has fled from Samuel, the prophet of the Lord. And now he's fleeing from Ahimelech, the priest of the Lord. And both men, you'll remember, in the Old Testament economy, were appointed by the Lord to give spiritual instruction and direction. And surely we would have to say that David was in the best place when he was in the company of those men. For the priest had the ephod. That was used in order to obtain the mind of God. The prophet had the word of the Lord. But no, David flees to the ungodly. Most often when a believer strays from God in his heart, it's not long before he is found in the company of the ungodly. The heart that is not in fellowship with God, it will not be in fellowship with other believers. And so the only other alternative in the thought process of the backslider is to seek the company of those who, by their very nature, are enemies of God. And yet for the backslider, he will never find contentment. He will never find happiness in such company. It may be that David tried to conceal his appearance on this occasion. I think that is the case. I think when he went to the Philistines, he tried to conceal who he really was. But he was instantly recognized. The ungodly recognized who he was. And they did not welcome him. You see, the true believer, no matter how far from God he strays, will never be at home in this world. He will never be at home in the company of the ungodly. No matter how bright or cheery in appearance he will put on his face deep down in his heart, he will never be at home. Because the only place that he can be at home is in the presence of God, who has called him and saved him. Here's the consequence. He's away among the ungodly. And then you'll notice secondly that David's course of action led to irrational behavior. In verse 13. When he was recognized, he was sore afraid. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. He acted as a madman. I am justified in saying this is a regretful period in the life of David. This was out of character. This was demeaning and degrading and disgraceful for David. And yet, it is a reminder of the irrational actions which believers can descend to when they are out of step with God. When they are out of step with God, they begin to act in a way that's out of character for them. In a way that demeans and degrades their testimony. Wisdom had deserted them. Or more to the point, he had deserted them. The wisdom of God. David straying from the Lord furthermore brought great sorrow and fear to his heart. Look at verse 12. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid. I want you to see the contrast here, or the comparison rather, in verse 10. David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. Now, he was afraid of Saul. But notice how the Holy Spirit pens it in verse 12. He was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. The fear that he had in the presence of the Philistines was far more intense and far greater than the fear that he felt from the envy and the malice of Saul. You see, there is no peace for the believer out of fellowship with God. No peace. See the contrast when that stripling of a lad steps on the battlefield of Elah. No one among the armies of Israel even dared to take such a step. And as he sees Goliath in the distance, He said, Goliath, you come to me with sword and stave and shield, but I come to you in the name of the God of heaven. Oh, the language of fearlessness. That's the picture of a man right with God, at peace with God, and he's able to take on anything that comes against him. But now he trembles in the presence of the Philistine king. He's sore afraid. Oh, the backsliding heart will never find peace away from the Lord. Never. It always brings great fear and great sorrow of heart. But then I want you to notice that David's action brought great harm and detriment to the people of God. We're not informed of this in the chapter that we have read. But when we proceed into the next chapter in verse 9, we read there of the retribution which Saul meted against the high priest and his fellow priest when he had heard that David had gone to the tabernacle. David had lied about the nature of his presence there. And the high priest was not aware of the situation, and it resulted in the death of 85 priests. There was an Edomite there. One of the chief herdsmen of Saul. Verse 9 of chapter 22. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse come into Nov to Ahimelech, the son of Ahiatub, and they inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahiatub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nov, and they came all of them to the king. And the king said, Hear now, thy son of Ahiatub. And they answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor do all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this more, less or more. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, Turn and slay the priests of the Lord. They refused to do that, but Doeg the Edomite didn't. And we read there in verse 19, And Nov, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women and children and sucklings and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. He turned and fell that day and slew fourscore and five persons in verse 18. You see what happened now. David had lied about his reason for going to God's house. He was really running away from the Lord. Wasn't seeking after God. And in doing so, he brought great harm and great injury to the priests of the Lord. When David heard of this, his heart was immediately smitten. In verse 22. One of the priests escaped and fled and came to David. And David said unto Abiathar, verse 22, I knew at that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. You see, the consequences of a backsliding heart are never confined to that individual believer. They are wide-reaching, because no man is an island. Our lives touch and affect others, either for good or for evil. When a believer gets away from God, and backslides in his heart, he will not only bring great harm and injury to himself, he will bring harm and injury to the body of Christ of which he is a member. Backsliding is something that has far-reaching consequences. You think of a person who the Lord plucked as a brand from the burning, made them a trophy of grace, and then somewhere along the line they turn and they go their own way, and they're back amongst the ungodly. What a bad testimony. And what damage it does to the cause of Jesus Christ. What harm and injury it does to other believers that are seeking to go on with God and to raise a testimony for Christ. No, we must never think that backsliding is confined to ourselves. It will always have fearful and sorrowful and harmful consequences. But I'm glad tonight that the passage doesn't end with the concealment of a backslidden heart and the consequences of a backslidden heart. For as we read on, we find the cure that was applied to David's backslidden heart. David had fled to Gath to escape the fury of King Saul. And yet in doing so, he placed himself in greater danger. It was the height of folly on his part to think that he would find mercy and acceptance amongst the Philistines. And added to that, he brought with him the sword of Goliath. That was an action of folly. It was hardly an action which would conciliate their favor. Here's the man who had slain the giant with his own sword and put the Philistines to flight, and now he's coming among them and he brings the sword of conquest. But notwithstanding the folly of David on this occasion, the Lord mercifully intervened not only to deliver him from the Philistines amongst whom he had foolishly gone, but more importantly to restore his soul to the Lord. We read of the physical deliverance in verse 20, in chapter 22 and verse 1, where he fled, he departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And this was the physical deliverance, being physically delivered from the presence of the Philistines. But it's not until you turn to the book of Psalms that you will find of the spiritual deliverance. If you turn over to Psalm 34, you'll find in the title of this psalm that it refers to this specific time in David's life. Psalm 34, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. And this is the title of Achish. Achish is the name of the king, but Abimelech is the title. Literally means the father of the king. When he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. This psalm was written in relation to this episode in David's life. And when you read through it, you'll find that it speaks of a time of great fear and trouble. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Then again in verse 6, this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You see how David, when he looks on that occasion, he describes himself as a poor man. He's in a poor condition. And he knew it. And afterwards, when he wrote this psalm, he knew that that experience did not enrich him. He was a poor man. He was in a time of great trouble and great trial. If you turn over to Psalm 56, You'll find another psalm that was written at that time. To the chief musician upon Jonath Elam Rekokim, Mictam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. And if you come down to verse 8, he speaks about wanderings. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. This was a time of great sorrow for David. He was out of step with God. He had sought after his own way, and it brought him into trouble, and it brought him into fear, and it brought him into great sorrow, and he shed many tears. But it was a time when he turned to the Lord in heartfelt prayer. This poor man cried, I sought the Lord. And what did he seek the Lord for? Psalm 56 and verse 1. He says, be merciful unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up, he fighting daily oppresses me. He cries to God for mercy. Oh, he realizes that he's gone away out of step with God, followed his own course, and it's brought him into great trouble and great sorrow. But in that condition, the first thing that he did was to cry to God for mercy. Be merciful unto me. Be merciful unto me. It was an experience in which David learned of the folly of straying from God. Look at verse 2. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. Verse 5. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, he thought he would find refuge. But he found the opposite. And yet in that time, David learned to trust in the Lord. Verse 4 of that Psalm 56. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. This is a time when his faith was being restored. His backsliding came about because of faithlessness, because of unbelief. But now in this experience, he's crying to God for mercy. And he's realizing that he must trust the Lord. And then in verse 11, he says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. It was a time when he learned to trust the Lord and to seek the Lord. And to call upon the Lord. In verse 13, you'll see the abiding effect of that experience. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? He realizes that he has gone astray from God. And the effect of that experience is that he's brought to the place of prayer where he calls on God for mercy. Brought to the place of renewed faith and trust in the Lord. And as he prays to God, he prays that God would keep his feet from falling. For he knows the consequences. If you turn back to Psalm 34 and verse 10. David found the Lord merciful and gracious unto him in the hour and in the time of his backsliding. He says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You see, when David turned to the Lord in his plight, in his backslidden condition, and when he cried to God, he found the Lord good and gracious and merciful. And the Lord lifted him up and the Lord restored him. Not only physically from the presence of the Philistines, but more importantly, the Lord restored him spiritually. David's restoration came in the place of prayer. when he turned again to the Lord, recognizing his error and his folly and seeking after the mercy of God. And that is where every backslider will find restoration with God, in the place of prayer. Confessing the error and the folly of others and seeking after the mercy of God. The record of David's backsliding on this occasion is not written for us to sit in harsh judgment upon him. It is written for two reasons. The first you will find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 11. And Paul here in this chapter has been relating incidents from the Old Testament, particularly in relation to the children of Israel in the wilderness. And he says in verse 11, summing it up, he says, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Why are these things recorded in the Bible? They are regrettable things. They are lamentable things. How we wish that we didn't come to passages like this, but we do. And the reason why we do is because the Lord has put them there for our admonition, that we may take heed. We ought never to think, "I would never do that." Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Lest he fall. We're not to sit in judgment of David, nor any other backslider. But when we read these things, we should take heed in our own life. Because each one of us could just as easily go astray from God and further from God. But the second reason it is mentioned is to teach us that if we do fall into backsliding, we should not despair. Because this passage, whilst it sets out the folly of David, and very plainly and very powerfully, at the same time it magnifies the mercy and the grace of God. Because the Lord restored him and brought him back to himself, so that he was able to write, "He restoreth my soul." Yes, backsliding is a very real danger, something we've all got to take heed of. And seek the Lord continually, that he would keep our feet from falling. But remember this, that there's always mercy for God. No matter how far a child of God may wander from the Lord. We've been reading through the book of Hosea. I want you to turn to that book in the Old Testament section. This morning we were reading of God's awful judgment that he pronounced upon the northern kingdom. Said he would cast them away because of their wickedness and their sin. But you can't end at chapter 9. You've got to go on to the last chapter, chapter 14. And listen to what the Lord says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless find mercy." And then the Lord responds to this prayer. And he says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. There's the mercy of God. There's the exceeding greatness and preciousness of the grace of God, that he can come to that life that has fallen miserably and gone away from God. And the Lord can restore them. The Lord will restore them. And he says, I will heal their backslidings. I will heal their backsliding. And I will love them freely. Here is the cure. Here's the remedy. Yes, these things are written that we may take heed. But they are also written that we should not fall into the depths of despair. If we stray from the Lord, oh, we should seek the mercy and the grace of God every day, that he might keep us faithful to him. But if we have to confess it, we would have to say that every day there is a measure of going astray from the Lord in the life of the believer. And if that is allowed to continue and progress, it will lead to wide open, blatant turning away from God, such as David did on this occasion. How much we need to seek the Lord. And when we come into contact with those who once walked with the Lord but now follow afar off, we should not sit in judgment. We should take heed. And we should present the promise of God. I will heal their backsliding. And I will love them freely. I will love them freely. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. And may we take it to heart tonight. It's a message for every one of us. It's a message that we've got to apply to ourselves. How very possible to come to God's house and yet have a heart in the process of traveling astray from God. How we need to seek the Lord when we come to the means of grace. That God would speak to us. That God would reveal his mind and his will to us. And that we might behold the beauty of the Lord.